This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Two new stage adaptations of classic horror novels are running now in repertory at the Classic Stage Company, and both plays adjust the narratives. In playwright Kate Hamill's adaptation of Dracula, the focus is turned away from the titular vampire and placed on the women who join forces to stop him. A pregnant Mina Harker, a fearless female Van Helsing, and even Dracula's servant Renfield, played by Hamill herself. In the version of Frankenstein written by Tristan Bernays, both Victor Frankenstein and his monster are played by one woman, the relentless Stephanie Barry, who takes us from the moments the monster first realizes it's alive to its last days as a literate and tortured creature. Together, Frankenstein and Dracula shine a light on the dangerous consequences of oppression. Dracula and Frankenstein are playing at the Classic Stage Company through March 8th. Kate Hamill, who wrote the new Dracula and stars as Renfield, and Stephanie Barry, who plays both Frankenstein as monster, are both across from me in the studio. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
So, Kate, The New Yorker called your play a Dracula for the age of hashtag Me Too.
Yes.
Why did you feel Dracula was good fodder for an adaptation at this moment?
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I often feel that adaptations of Dracula are quite male-gazy. At best, they're often problematic in terms of gender roles and the roles that women are relegated to. And at worst, they are, forgive me, sort of rape fantasies. And one of the things I'm dedicated to as an artist is creating new feminist classics designed to focus on the female gaze and creating complicated female characters and female-driven narratives. And I thought, oh, well, wouldn't it be an interesting challenge to create a feminist Dracula, which is refocusing the lens and asking who the vampires really are? And to see if I could play with the tone with it quite a bit and make it, it's a bit of an homage to the kind of quote-unquote scary movies that I grew up with. I was a big fan of Ghostbusters growing up. Big Ghostbusters fan. And I really wanted to make a female buddy comedy about fighting vampirism as a form of toxic masculinity. And I thought it would be a really interesting challenge to completely turn this very old story on its head. Because, again, it's often quite problematic.
Was it challenging, or did it just flow?
Yeah, it was very challenging. I mean, this play was commissioned by Classic Stage Company, and it was only commissioned in June. So it went from the first time I ever opened my computer and started working on it to first rehearsal in less than 6 months.
Wow.
But it was a really exciting challenge, and we had a great, I have a great director, Sarna Lapine, and a great cast and crew and creative team, and we all threw ourselves into refocusing the lens, because I feel like we were really interested in what our monsters teach us about ourselves. So it was interesting and challenging in an exciting way, in a light of fire under you way, not in a terrifying way.
So Stephanie, when you think about Frankenstein in 2020 and you think about examining Frankenstein now, what was interesting to you about that idea?
Well, the first, I'm going to answer it a little indirectly.
That's
but
okay.
As an African-American woman, very specifically, mm-hmm. when I was first invited to audition, the very first thing that came to my mind, and I did share with the director when he asked why, you know, I was interested, or why he thought I even invited African-American women, is that we, as African-American women, I think have had the most challenge with dealing with the Western concept of beauty mm-hmm. in the world. even in this generation, which seems to perhaps have regressed a little, we spend so much of our spiritual energy and otherwise trying to look different, mm-hmm. trying to lighten our skin, make our noses keener,
straighten
our hair straighter. And I remember as a child, I hate to admit this, but I used bleaching cream secretly you know, and wished for lighter skin.
Oh, I spent many a day in a chair in Newark, New Jersey, getting my hair
straightened
as a little girl.
And of course, I came up through the Black is Beautiful period, which was profoundly important. And it was more than superficial. It helped us to see in a deeper spiritual level where beauty stems from. Mm-hmm. And so I think the story of Frankenstein is very pertinent to everyone. Mm-hmm. There is so much division and hate going on right now. And one of the things that has always resonated with me, even as a child watching the movie, which is, you know, quite different than Mary Shelley's actual mm-hmm. book, is that the monster was taught to be hate or be violent mm-hmm. from the very moment that the monster, in fact, I won't call him a monster. Mm-hmm. The creature. Yes. The creature from the very moment in the movies when it came alive, if you recall, the Dr. Frankenstein's assistant would taunt the creature and beat the creature. So from the moment that the creature opened his eyes, he was taught to hate.
Yeah, in the play, there's a coat over the mirror. And then you take the coat off the mirror, and the creature is sort of frightened, but it's the reaction of other people.
Yes.
That teaches him who he is.
Exactly.
It's interesting. So, you know, Kate, you've done this before. People might remember you did Little Women. You rewrote Little Women. Mm-hmm. Were there particular challenges in rewriting a horror?
Yeah, I mean, play? What was interesting, you know, when Dracula first came out in 1897, there has always been vampire mythology. That actually is one of the things I think is interesting about vampire mythology, is it goes back to basically the beginnings of human history. We have stories about these things. But when Dracula was specifically written, it was a bit of a mystery novel, you know, whereas nowadays the jig is up. Everyone knows the minute people start getting sick and turning pale, you know, everyone comes into the theater knowing it's vampires. Right. So instead of creating that kind of mystery, which is sort of moot, it was interesting to find other turns in the story. And I also felt like it's been done so many times that actually there was a sort of freedom in sort of going, okay, how can I make a complete left turn with this? So yeah, that was the challenge, is trying to make it surprising and trying to create all that suspense, because otherwise it's so easy for people to get ahead of the story.
When you were writing it, and considering mm-hmm. you had to write it in such a quick amount of time, yeah. What was your process of deciding how much Dracula to put in it? Because there's not as much as people might think.
No, I mean, I'm kind of a radical adapter of the classics. I approach every one of them as sort of a new play. So I only keep what is dramaturgically personally interesting to me or interesting to the story. And I think of doing these classics, you know, these stage adaptations of the classics, as a collaboration between myself and an author who is currently dead. And with something that is as well-worn as this and such a cultural touchstone, I thought, well, I have to come in with a really strong point of view, because otherwise, again, I don't believe in doing it unless you're bringing something completely new to the page. So yeah, I just sort of let that be my guide.
My guests are Kate Hamill, playwright and actor. We're talking about Dracula's the show that she's in, and Stephanie Barry, who plays Frankenstein and his creature in Frankenstein. They're both playing together mm-hmm. at Classic Stage. Stephanie, it's really interesting to watch from the beginning of the play how the creature learns.
Yes.
Right? From the very beginning of the play, learns like what feet are and what hands can do and what legs can do. Would you describe for us a little bit your thought process and your work with the director on how the creature learns and why that's important to the story?
Well, I do see you making me admit a lot of personal things I didn't want the world to know. I hope my daughter's not listening. frequently in life, when I go through periods of, you know, depression or questioning myself, one of the things as I do is I go, I'm going to start all over again. Mm-hmm. And so I clean my house out in my closets and I start purging. And, you know, my daughter comes in, Ma, would you stop? What are you throwing away? But I do it spiritually. So I always look deep into myself and I try to go back to my earliest memories and just try to relive or rethink, reconsider the moment my first or earliest words and motions and, you know, when I discovered how to move and how to express myself. So it's a ritual that I have done for myself throughout my life at those particular periods. And that is what I use as my springboard every night as the creature discovers life.
You ask the audience at one point to, the creature asks the audience to help and holds up a book that says Frankenstein on it. I'm sort of, and it's interesting that the day I saw it, you hold up a coat. Is it always a coat that you hold
yes.
up? And this young woman looked a little concerned and she said, coat, really quietly. And then you repeated it like that. Do you do that every night? However, whatever the
yes.
the person's reaction is?
Yes, because that's the learning process. If you watch, you know, mm-hmm. children, that's the, you know, that when they start to learn, they imitate who they are observing. And so I'm trying to learn how to speak and articulate and put a name to an object. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I repeat it as close as I can to how the person has expressed it to me. And then little by little, I begin to try to take ownership and find my own energy and my own way of how I would express the same thing. Hmm.
Kate, in your play, Dr. Van Helsing, the vampire hunter, is a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And from her costuming and her attitude, she kind of registers more 21st century mm-hmm. than her counterparts. Why and how does her arrival change things?
Well, in this production, Van Helsing was brilliantly originated by Jessica Francis Dukes, who's a wonderful actress. I was very, very interested in creating a Van Helsing who was a revolutionary, who is a woman who in her past has been pushed too far and then is sort of... you know, the playwright who I really respect a lot, Young Jean Lee, said, if you hate something, you should write a play about it. And I kind of hate Westerns. I'm sorry, listeners. I feel very shut out from Westerns. So this was sort of the closest to a Western I ever, this is sort of as close to a Western as I'll ever do. And I really wanted her to be someone who walked into this very turn of the century, extremely straight-laced British society and tells a lot of uncomfortable truths and is sort of a vigilante. So she's American, she's a cowgirl, and she, I was really, you know, one of her first lines is, what were you expecting, withered old Dutchman? Because mm-hmm. I really wanted to turn on its ear the sort of expectations of, you know, famously Anthony Hopkins played that role. And I hated the idea of this man who comes in and saves the day by stabbing sexualized women in the heart. What I loved was the idea of a sort of female modern woman warrior who's also, you know, a genius as she is in the book, as the character is in the book, excuse me, and who represents someone who is a sort of vigilante character. And again, I was really interested in creating a female buddy comedy, and mm-hmm. I thought, well, now that I haven't seen a lot is this female vigilante who comes in and is sort of like, you guys have to listen. And in fact, a big subtextual message of the play is believe women, listen to women. And if they had all started listening to Van Helsing from the minute she walks in, they wouldn't have so many vampire-related problems, but they don't. They really dismiss her, and she, throughout the course of the play, is, of course, proven right.
And I found myself as an audience member watching Dracula, actually cheering. And I had to catch myself because I was cheering out loud. Yes.
Stephanie, music is really important in this production of Frankenstein. Sometimes it's your friend, sometimes the music is your foe. How is music as much a character as Frankenstein or Elizabeth or the little boy?
Well, in life, Stephanie feels that music is one of the most universal languages that exists. Mm. It is the thing that brings people together. I know Lincoln Center Outdoors has the outdoor concert every summer for many, many years where they play live music. And it is and I always go because I love to dance. And it's amazing to me who I end up dancing with and who I see dancing together, people who would normally not even speak to each other mm-hmm. on the street. Last summer, I was dancing with a white man in a wheelchair, and we were getting down. Music is the most universal language for me, and it sends vibrations on a higher level that kind of forces you to respond and listen. And those vibrations send messages, you know, of love, of anger, of, you know, turmoil, of peace. They send messages. And when the creature first hears music, there is a confusion. And because the ear is just experiencing, you know, the art of listening. So then it's scary at first, but very quickly, pretty quickly in the script, the music is the thing that soothes the creature and speaks to the creature and encourages mm-hmm. the creature. Mm-hmm. And the music throughout the whole play encourage, even when I'm not conscious of it, and it's playing to the subconscious.
And music goes right to the lizard brain. It goes
yes.
right to making you, it can make every part of your body respond, I think. My guests are Kate Hamill, playwright for Dracula. She also plays Renfield in the show, and Stephanie Barry, who stars as Frankenstein and his creature at the Classic Stage Company. So if people can, why should people see these both shows together?
I feel like our monsters, or as Stephanie rightly says, I think hers cannot be defined as a monster in her tour de force performance because it's so sympathetic. But I think our monsters teach us about ourselves
yes.
and about our shadow selves and our darknesses. And until we face those things, we will be haunted by them. And until we face it both in our others and ourselves. So I think it's a good way to re-examine yourself and re-examine how you frame your own stories.
And I think the adaptations, I concur, but in addition to piggyback, the adaptations both have a lean more towards the human psyche and spirit. Mm. And it really makes us look at ourselves.
Dracula and Frankenstein are playing at the Classic Stage Company through March 8th. Kate Hamill, Stephanie Barry, thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you
so much for having us.
You're listening to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. I will meet you at the top of the hour.